Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, everyone. We may be a small group, but we're mighty. And you know, God knew who to send here today. And so that's the amazing part of it. We have Jenny and Julie serving us right now. The musicians have already been served, as well as Terry and Abe. So it is a family affair, because you can see we have Micaiah, then we have me, and now we're going to have, Abe in a few minutes. We're going to continue on with music. So then that way it puts you in that feeling of being adoring and worshiping the Lord, because, you know, we need to continue doing that. So we'll do communion and then we'll do that. So while the servers are doing that, I just wanted to, you know, let you know today we celebrate and partake of the inheritance by the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and provision. So as you take communion today, I want you to remember this is the time of restoration. This is for you individually. He died for each of us on our own. Yes, as a congregation, we're going to share the meal together, but I want you to remember that as we take communion, it's more than just remembering Him. It's realizing who we are, realizing that we have healing that can happen right now. You know, we are in the time of miracles, and we are a time as a body of Christ that we should be ready to share the word, to talk to one another about the Lord, to enjoy ourselves. People think that being Christian is boring, but you know it's not. God is so good, and we have so much to share, and it's so important that you share your testimony, because you could be the catalyst for someone to receive Christ. And sometimes it'll be by your words and actions, and the Holy Spirit will guide you in everything. But then the other thing is, sometimes it's just how you are, how you live, and then they want to know how you have faith, how you have hope, how you have understanding. And so then we can share that with others. So be prepared that today, as you take, you know, as we do communion, that you know that God is with you always, and that He has provided for you in a mighty way through His death and through His resurrection. Okay, so are we all served? I think we are. Okay. So in Matthew 26 through 29, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." So please take the bread. Then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So please take the cup. So I'm just going to say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You that You died on that cross for us. Thank You that You are our Savior. And Lord, be with us by Your Holy Spirit. Show us what we need to speak when it's time to speak. Give us Your wisdom. And Lord, thank You for the healing touch that You have over all of us. We stand in awe of You, and we know that there is great expectation of what You're going to do in each and every one of our lives. Let us be a glorious testimony to You, O Lord. And we thank You, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Some days I get get a word. Some days I get a sentence. But during our worship, it's just a flood. Today's just a flood. It's all about being present. Be still and know that He is God. And to be the clay and let Him be the workman. And that iron sharpens iron. Just a flood of word. Just praise and present. To thank Him and to just be open. I keep thinking of the wineskins that Stella would talk about, and to just break down those walls and let Him move you, and it's okay in the silence. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm kind of going off of what you said. As I was listening to that song, it says, you know, break down the walls of all my traditions. Exact words, but break me of all my traditions, you know. So I was thinking about, you know, we kind of get it in our head to do things a certain way. And sometimes God asks us to do something and we're not sure because it's different, you know. And so I think that's something we need to remind ourselves of is, if you look in the Bible, how many times does God do something the exact same way? Can you think of any time He's done something the exact same way? I can only think of one time. You know, we heard of the disciples when they were fishing. Before they were called, Jesus said, "We're not catching anything on this side of the boat. Throw your net on the other side." And then later on, after Jesus rises from the dead, they're out fishing again, and He's on the shore, and He's saying, "Hey guys, how's it going?" And they're like, "Oh, you know, we're not catching anything." He's like, "Okay, we'll go ahead and throw it on the other side of the boat. You'll catch some fish." And I think the only reason He did that is because they didn't recognize who He was. So He had to do that to be like, "Hey guys, it's me, it's Jesus," to get their attention. But any other time, He does everything different. He does everything new. So if God's asking you to do something and it sounds weird or different, don't be afraid, because we need to make room for Him to do whatever He wants to and the way that He needs it to be done.
And actually, you know, thank you to everybody that helped out this morning. Because I know a lot of people were gone, and I knew some people had to step into places where they haven't normally stepped into. So I do appreciate that. Thank you for helping out today. You know, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as a body of believers. We're supposed to be people who work together for the glory of God, right? So, today what I want to talk about is fighting the good fight. Talking about fighting the good fight of faith. I'm sure you've all heard the scripture before. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world still. Now, it's been a crazy, not just year, but 2 years, right? And I think we're getting distracted, right? So before we get into all that, though, let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just ask that You be here today with us. You let us hear Your word, reveal what it is You want to reveal to us, so that we walk out of here changed, and that we walk out of here able to show love in a way that we haven't before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. So, you know, what we're going to get started with is it's in the garden, right when Jesus is about to get arrested. So in Matthew, this is chapter 26, starting at verse 47. It says, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, do what you came for, friend. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus's companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Now, in John 8:10, it actually tells us who that was. And it says, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. And of course, that would come from John, the disciple who Jesus loved. It's being a tattletale. So it says then in Luke, it says this just before he goes and cuts off the ear. Luke 22, and this is 49 to 50. It says, when Jesus's followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. So how was it Jesus wanted them to handle this situation here? What did Jesus say? Do you see an answer up there? Jesus didn't say anything. It was just Peter took out a sword, chop, right? Chopped an ear off, right? They asked the question. They knew there was danger. They knew there was a situation. They knew they needed to do something, right? At least that's what they thought. And they thought the answer was to fight back. But as we know, that didn't go along with the plan that Jesus had, right? Imagine if they wouldn't have arrested Jesus. Then he wouldn't have been sacrificed. Then he wouldn't have died for our sins. We wouldn't have the Holy Spirit. There's a lot that wouldn't happen because of that. They just reacted. You know, as Christians, we really need to believe, we need to try to stay away from being overly confident in what we think we believe or reacting out of the flesh. Because so many times, you know, we may hear something, we may believe, well, you know, that sounds like a good answer. I mean, it sounds Christian-y, right? Like I'm fighting for God, you know? And it's not really what he's got planned. You know, just before this, there was a moment. This is right before this is after Jesus's prayer, where he's in the garden. And he's saying, you know, if this cup shall pass from me, please, you know, take it from me, but not my will, yours, Lord. And what he did is that he actually took his closest disciples, James, John, Peter, the guy that chopped off the ear, and he took them with him in the garden. He took them a little bit further than everybody else because those were his closest people. And he said, pray. And then he went a little further and he prayed. And when he prayed, he came back and he saw his disciples were asleep. And I thought it was weird, but you'll see in the other gospels, it actually explains it, that they were tired from sorrow. Because they knew something bad was about to happen. And Jesus told them, it's like, pray so you do not fall into temptation. Now, you know, there's so many times where, like I said, we just react to things. I mean, you see it today. Like you'll see, like, hey, you know, they're gonna start shutting things down again. Maybe I don't know, in certain areas. They're gonna start mandating masks in certain areas, or, you know, I know I've seen it at my work. They'll say, okay, we're going to mandate you get vaccinated. Now, There's a way to handle things and there's a way to not handle things. And when we act out of aggression, fear, that's not right. It's not proper. So let's look at this here. You know, the one thing is, before I do that, is that I see a lot of people like jumping on bandwagons of things too. I don't know if anybody's ever heard this term before, but there's this thing called confirmation bias. It's if you hear something that agrees with what you believe, you're just instantly going to believe it. You're not going to, you know, research it yourself, anything like that. And, you know, I try to challenge myself because I know that's a thing, that's an issue. Same thing with scripture. I say this a lot, but like the Berean Jews, they were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica. And that's because they didn't just take the apostles' word for it, but they actually looked at scriptures to see if what was being said is true. None of us should just take things at face value. None of us should just hear something and be like, yeah, that's right. We should all be people that take anything we hear from anybody and see what scripture says about it. Because we have the Holy Spirit, the counselor, who's going to tell us whether that is truthful or not. And another thing is like when I see a lot of people jumping on a bandwagon, start to get like this alarm going off. Because it says in Matthew 7, this is 13 to 14, it says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You know, there's a lot of people who are acting out of fear. A lot of times we'll gang up with each other because we're doing that. And you know what? There's a fearful world out there, which, you know, they have a right to be. They think they die and then that's it. Or maybe they think something else, but, you know, they want to preserve their life, right? But, you know, I have to say this, is that it's not just the world that's scared. There's a lot of people in the church that are scared. And, you know, it's in a way that is deceptive. A way that you might not see it. Because you're like, no, I'm not fearful. Right? But then you'll hear people like, oh, no. He's not going to be the president. That's it for this country. Or, oh no, we're going to have to get vaccinated. Oh no, we have to wear masks. So if you're not afraid of something from the pandemic, it's the government or corporations or the vaccine, so many different things. And you'll say you're not fearful, but why is it you're fighting so hard against it? We have to be operating from a place where we're very truthful with ourselves. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. He will tell us, he will guide us. Like, hey, you know what? No, don't do that. You know what? You are afraid. You know, when we act from a place of fear, we're really operating outside of faith. And we're operating outside of God's will. Okay, because we're going to start doing things we think is right. Just like you saw the disciples, like, what do we do? Do we fight? And then all of a sudden, Peter's out there chopping off an ear, right? He's like, well, this is what I'm going to do, right? We're going to fight. And what, they had like two swords with them, as far as I remember. You know, we do things differently. You know, but Kay was saying this, and this is crazy because, like, I didn't say anything to her about what I'd be talking about, maybe something in general. But, you know, God does things differently. It's true. Right? Because think about it. Think about, like, when David was chosen as king. He wasn't the first of Jesse's sons that he brought. Right? Brought seven of them, and then, like, he's like, this isn't who God chose. The prophet's like, is there somebody else? He's like, well, David, he's the youngest. He's out with the sheep. You know, God chooses people who the world wouldn't choose. Right? Think about the walls of Jericho. You know, we would think, hey, we just got to knock that thing down, right? We got to breach it somehow with force. Is that the way it fell? No, they marched around it quietly, quietly, quietly. You know, blew trumpets. Boom. Answer, right? Because the problem is like when we start operating the ways that we think is right, we're not really doing something that's going to glorify God. And most likely we're not going to be doing something that shows love to God or his people. And we have an enemy, right? And the thing is like he is defeated, right? He is powerless. But if you give him power, he'll use it. How do you give him power? You let him use you. You listen to people who are in opposition to truth. And then you start carrying out things on your own, under your own power. And he said it a few weeks ago. I don't remember how many weeks ago, but Pastor Henry was talking about authority. But in order to have authority, you have to be under authority, right? So, you know, if we're operating outside of God's will, we're not under authority. You know, God's ways are so much different than ours. And it's something where it's, we're not really going to know it unless, one, we read scripture, and most importantly, that we have a relationship with God, that we actually spend time with God, we love God, right? And the thing is like we're getting distracted by so many things where, you know, I just talked about them, pandemic, all the things that come with that, government, all the things that come with that. But it's to distract us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is verses 4 through 7, it says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So we're soldiers, right? God's army. And who's our commanding officer? God, yeah. So it says similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. So just like I say, if we're operating under our own power, our own wisdom and knowledge, it's not something that's very fruitful. It's not going to have a good result. You know, you can't win the race if you cheat, right? And it says, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. And, you know, I'm about to talk kind of crazy right now. So watch out. Talk crazy. So 1 John chapter 2, this is verse 15. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Okay, so here comes the crazy part. Ready? Okay. Are you willing to give up everything you have for God? And remember, I had talked about some things. I talked earlier and I said that, you know, our heart, our flesh can be deceitful. It can deceive us. Like a big one, I love the country. But what if like Jeremiah, and this is chapter 38. He says, everybody, you need to flee Judah. If you do, you will live. But everybody that stays is either going to die by the sword, pestilence, or famine. They were planning on, he's like, you know, if you stay behind, we're going to burn everything. Like, even if there's just wounded people in the tents on the Babylonian army, they'd come out, this is chapter 37, come out and they'd burn your city. So, you know, there's so many people that say, I would give up everything, but they won't even give up little things a lot of times. What if you were asked, if you're told, hey, you can live, God says you can live, but you need to leave your home. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening right now. I'm not saying I'm like some prophet or something, but you know, what if God says, would you be willing to do it? But right now there's so many people that are holding on to something that maybe God's doing something different right now. And I'm not saying he's giving up on people or that there's some kind of judgment or something. But what I am saying is that God wants us to seek him and find his answer to everything. His answer to any problems that are in your life or in this world. You know, one other thing we need to do too is we need to be compassionate. And I think that's something we really lost. You know, it seems like after this pandemic, you know, I mentioned it before, but I work in a crime lab. Is that hashtag humble brag? I don't know. You're one of those young folks, right? No, no, no response. So anyways, this year is so violent. I mean, city of Tucson, there's over 60 homicides this year. It hasn't been anywhere near that before since I've been there for 7 years. The crimes against people. And you know what? A lot of this stuff is just like people talking to other people, road rage, starting like that. People forgot how to be civil with one another. But I can say this too, is like, I know like Christians in my life who like one minute they'll say, you know, praise the Lord. And then the next minute they'll be cursing out somebody or like, you know, mocking somebody for their belief or celebrating their failure, which we're not supposed to do. It's a proverb, you know. We cannot do that. In Colossians, and this is chapter 3, verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So let me tell you the story. There's this guy I know, and he's not a believer, because like we've had discussions before. Like, yeah, you definitely don't believe. Kind of like antagonistic towards the faith. But he recently found out that he needed an operation or he could die, right? It is pretty serious. He needed it as quickly as possible. But the hospital told him, we're sorry, we're looking for ICU beds, but they're all filled up right now. And guess what they're filled up with? COVID patients, right? And what have we been hearing lately? That the people that are getting sick, who are they? The unvaccinated, right? So here he is. Like I said, it's scary for people that don't believe, having to confront death. What do you think his state of mind is? Who do you think he's angry at? Well, I'll tell you what he's telling people he's angry at. There's another friend I have. And he commented on a Facebook post and he said, I'm unvaccinated and I've been testing negative every week for however long, I don't know, because I guess it's something he has to do because he's not vaccinated. So he says that. What do you think his response to that was? He was very angry, right? And of course he blocked him, and I saw all this drama between the two because I'm still friends with both of them, Facebook. So the thing is we're not really, a lot of times we don't think about that. We're just thinking, it's like, stop trying to push your vaccine on me. You know, I'm not going to tell you to get vaccinated or not, all right? I'm not going to tell you if I've been vaccinated or not. Because people are weird, right? Like if I claim certain things, or if I discount certain things, you know, or say I did something or I didn't do something, they'll completely dismiss everything else. Which, I don't know where that comes from. But you know, the thing is, it's like you have this guy who's worried about dying. And all he has to blame are these people who are taking the ICU beds that he needs in order to get a surgery. But from our point of view, we would just see this guy telling everybody to get vaccinated. Like, what is this guy talking about? Stupid, right? Who knows what else kind of terrible names we call him. This guy's in fear for his life. So we need to understand from like an eternal perspective, like everything we do has a consequence in eternity. I want to get to the end there where God is, I'm standing before him and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's only going to happen if I'm doing the things that God has called us to do. So in Matthew 26, this is verses 52 to 56, is back to after the ear gets chopped off. And it says, but Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and he healed them. Put your sword back in its place. Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? A legion is about 3,000 to 6,000. So that times 12 and more. So anywhere from 36,000 to 72,000 or more angels. And it was like one angel wiped out, I think, like 185,000 men or something like that. So imagine, you know, close to 100,000 angels. But it goes to show you again that, you know, man might think I need to do this when God's saying I need to do this, right? He has a different way. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, right? All right, so says, angels, but how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? You know, is there maybe a purpose that God wants to fulfill in your life or in this world that you might not see and it has to happen a certain way? That's why it's so important we know what it is that God actually wants us to do. And he says, in that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching. You did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. So don't feel bad if you kind of like did any of this stuff I'm talking about, because So did the disciples, the very closest to Jesus. And we all know that Peter did what? He denied Jesus after this, right? Three times. So not only did he chop an ear off, but he denied Jesus three times. And, you know, all the other disciples were gone. And it sounds like at the cross, the only disciple that was there was John. Because, you know, Jesus had told John, this is my mother, it's your mother now, you're her son. So, you know, there's going to be times where maybe we have to endure something that we may not want to, but it does say that we're going to be persecuted. It does say that we're going to suffer. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have peace, which sounds weird. How can you have that? It's because the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? Let's look at the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew chapter 5. This is verses 38 through 42. And this is another example of how God does things differently. And you have heard it is said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And we're not talking about getting beat up here. We're talking about being insulted. You know, allow people to insult you. You don't need to return it. And then it says, and if anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So one thing that kind of stood out to me, and I didn't really understand it for, you know, when I was younger, but the part where it says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. I'm not sure if everybody's aware of what that means. But what the Romans could do is that they could go up to a person, like somebody they conquered. They could say, okay, here's somebody who's Jewish. Carry my stuff. You'd have to carry it for a mile. Right? And then here Jesus is saying, I don't just want you to carry it for a mile. I want you to carry it for 2 miles. Right? Imagine if we had something like that today. Could you imagine that? Like somebody comes to you. You're new, so I can't pick on you. Could you imagine somebody walks? Christian, carry my pack. You got to do that for a mile. What kind of response do you think we'd have today? Do you think we'd be like, yeah, I'll go 2 miles? No? Or yeah, all right, let's do this. Right? No. There would be rallies and, you know, Facebook groups. There'd be flyers posted everywhere. Meetings. Like, we got to fight the oppression. It shouldn't be that way. We see what the biblical response is. We should subject ourselves to every human authority. I think it's in Romans 14. Every human authority. Because I heard some people before. They're like, well, I say that the Constitution of the United States of America is my authority. It says every human authority. It's kind of weird that there's a distinction there. It talks about governors and kings. And it's hard for us to submit. It's funny, we had a girl in youth group, she would not submit. Right? Brendan, right? Would not submit. So, it's a good story. But anyways, sorry for the inside joke. But, you know, I think we actually have been asked a question like that already. We have. I didn't bring it with me. All right, I'll just say the word. Okay. But masks. Okay. We walk to a store, and when this whole thing started, you see, like, all people are required to wear masks, right? What do people do? How do I fight against that? Right. It's like, that's tyranny. You try to do this. But when, you remember what I said before, talking about compassion? Do you remember what I said before about seeing things differently? One, subject yourself to all human authority. Doesn't matter if it's a mandate, it's still human authority that made the mandate. Okay, well, we're not going to get in trouble for it. You know, nobody's charging us any fees or fines, not getting rid of any tickets. Well, obey all human authority. You know, it's not about what we can get away with. It should be more about, can we do the best to be morally and ethically excellent? So, you know, and I heard other people is like, well, you know what? Like later on, it's like, you can wear a mask. You have to wear a mask if you're not vaccinated. Okay. So as a Christian, are you going to walk in if you are unvaccinated without a mask? Because that'll make you a liar. Or are you going to like make an excuse? Well, you know what? I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. That's my vaccine. Or I prayed Psalm 91 over myself. That's my protection. Vaccinated by that. The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. We cannot deceive ourselves into thinking doing the wrong thing is right. I saw recently, there's stores putting up signs now that says, masks are encouraged for all customers. And you know why the things changed? Because they knew people were lying, right? I mean, nobody's going to come out and say it, but they knew. They also knew, like, the whole breakout thing, too, and everything. But, you know, when I see that sign, you know what I do? I put on a mask. Not because I have fear, but it's because I've been asked to. Because I honor people above myself. Because I have an example in the Bible with something much worse. Where Roman soldiers were telling Jewish people to carry their packs. To carry all their stuff. And Jesus not only told them to go 1 mile, but he told them to go 2. So I'm going to wear 2 masks. No. But the thing is we are not here to fight for our comfort. We're not here to fight for our rights, ourselves, what makes us happy. We're here to show people a love that they don't know. And that's the love of Jesus. We're here to show them a God that sacrificed himself on a cross. That he didn't just endure just being on the cross, but he endured being tortured. He endured being insulted. Mocked. So why should I, over such a small thing, worry? Because a lot of people are going to be like, well, you know, once the government gets control of that, they're going to take something else and something else and something else and something else. But you know what? I serve a mighty God. And whatever he wants to happen, he'll make happen. And a lot of times we can learn stuff through what we're suffering through. We can be strengthened by what we go through. And that's not going to happen if everything is sunshine and rainbows. So, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, this is verses 3 through 12, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, I did mention earlier that I worked in a lab. Okay, one of the things that's supposed to be the big deal is that we're accredited. So it's saying what every bit of work that we do is adheres to certain standards and protocols so that the quality of our work is at a certain level, right? So one of the things that I have to do is, like, before ever I do any kind of chemical process, I have to test the chemical to make sure it's working for that day. So, like, let's say I'm testing something for blood. So what I do is I get two swabs. I get them both wet, put one in, like, a known sample of blood, and the other one not. Put the chemicals on there. See the color changes. One shouldn't, one should. It works. Okay, we call that thing a standard. So, you know, the Bible has something very similar to that, right? I mean, our Bible is the standard. So whenever we're about to do something, we're about to act on something, we're just want to know how it is we're supposed to operate in life, we go back to the Bible, right? Because it's our standard. Now, you know, the easiest one is, like, what is the greatest commandment of them all? Love God, right? Now I'm paraphrasing, but, like, with everything we have. Everything. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Notice it doesn't say love other believers as yourself. It says love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't mean neighbor just the next door people, but whoever is around you. Another simple test to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Sure, you all know this one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. I mean, how many people are patient these days? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. It's very simple. If you're about to say something or do something, just see, does it adhere to that? Does it? You know, is it something that shows love to somebody else? Now, I don't know if I gave you this, Terry, but did I give you 1 Peter 2? Yeah? All right. So 1 Peter 2, 11 to 25. And I'm pretty sure I read this before. But it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles." Okay, where is our true citizenship? In heaven. In heaven. Right. So it says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, say non-believers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So we're supposed to live a life of goodness and do good deeds in spite of what's going on around us, right? So submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Now, do you remember when Jesus was before Pilate? What was it he said when Jesus went and talked to him? He said, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or set you free? You know what Jesus' response was? He told him that he only had the authority that God, his Father, had given him. So imagine this, the guy who's going to crucify, you know, send Jesus to be crucified, he only has authority because God's given it to him. So even though this thing seems terrible and tragic to his people, you know, Jesus' disciples, this was the plan from the beginning. Doesn't sound like a fun one. I mean, can you imagine that? Being tortured, sacrificed. And it's just a way to show like how much God really loves us. But, you know, that plan, it probably isn't the first plan of anybody like, yeah, I'll die for somebody. It's like, no, we're fighting out of this thing. We're all going to live, right? That's probably what would be like a human plan. It says, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. So despite what you see as evil going on, do good. You know what? We need to stop proving people wrong, and we need to start proving God right. It says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Now, you remember what I said before about the masks? We should not use it as a cover-up for evil. Lying, not good. Live as God's slaves. Okay, we're supposed to actually live in a way where we feel like we have no choice but to serve God. Show proper respect to everyone. That's people that disagree with you, people that aren't believers, people that are believers, people that believe differently than you, people that might have different viewpoints on things, right? Everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. I don't know if we got enough of that these days. Honor the emperor. There it is again. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. And the reason I put this in there is like I was talking about before, like if I threw that bag in front of you and told you to carry it, how would you respond? Probably not well. But here's Jesus saying, hey, if you're a slave, even if they're treating you harshly, I want you to treat your master well. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. So if you feel like you're being unjustly punished for something, if you feel like you're being oppressed or suffering something, if you're doing it and you're conscious of God and you're doing it in a godly way, that's something that's going to be credited to you. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one, to him who judges justly. Because God is our just judge. And it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that the weight that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So in that scripture, you should see there are certain ways that say, yes, I should be able to retaliate in a certain way. I should be able to get my justice. I shouldn't have to put up with that. But God wants us to do the opposite. So let's go ahead and this will be the last scripture. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's verses 11 through 12. And it says, but you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, we may not see what the actual answer is or how we're going to get through any kind of circumstance or how we're going to overcome any kind of thing, but know that our God will overcome anything. We just have to have faith in him, trust and believe, and act in the way that he has called us to act. Now, if you look at the Roman Empire, they're the ones that crucified him, right? They were pretty oppressive to Christians. But around 300 AD, a little bit after, Constantine made an edict, and he said, Christianity is acceptable now. And then 10 years later, they said that it was the actual religion of the empire. Now, I'm hoping whatever is going to happen isn't going to take hundreds of years, but just know that you were placed at this time to serve a purpose. Every one of us. Every one of us are necessary and gifted in order to do whatever it is God has made us for. So, with that, let's go ahead and pray. God, just ask that you go out with us today. Remind us what you've taught us, your word. Let us meditate on it, Lord. Let it change us. Let us glorify in every way that we can so that we become people that love other people in the way that you've called us to. And we thank you for everything you've given us. And we thank you for your son, which died on the cross for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.